Keep this in mind, Zoom. I mean this in actuality. I'm going to bomb something if he wins again.
Hey, man, I just took a pledge.
I'm not saying I'm pro-Trump, but I'm not going to bomb anything no matter who wins. Just to clarify, I'm not in on this.
I brought Suman over for story time, guys. We don't have a case at all. I'm going to tell you some stuff. How's it going, Sumit? You want to hear a story?
Some stuff? Like, what? is this like a way of like confessing to something? Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to tell you guys a story. It's just make believe. This isn't real life.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I'm here. I'm always hanging out with Private Dicks. Every opportunity I will get, I'll come in. So yeah, I'm in for a story. I'm in for crime solving. Whatever you guys have to do, I'll do it.
Well, I nerded right out. And we're going to talk about some fucking, like, King Arthur.
Oh.
And the Knights of the Round Table and wizards and shit. I'll tell you the story about King Arthur. Huh?
All right. Yeah.
Isn't that fun? Does it sound fun, RJ?
Yeah, dude, for sure. I'm super into, wizarding and, I have my Pottermore account all set up. I'm a Ravenclaw. What are you guys?
You would be a Ravenclaw.
I would be Clive Owen because that's the movie I've seen. Whatever.
You'd be Clive Owen. That's your that's your Hogwarts house.
Yeah, Clive that's Owen. That's my house. Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic. Can you just imagine the Sorting Hat being like, Slytherin? No, Clive Owen. You have the energy of the star of Children of Men. You're the only one in the Clive Owen house.
Yeah. I guess you didn't watch Harry Potter, assume it? You definitely watched Excalibur. Or not. What that one's movie's called Arthur, right? The one with Clive Owen, Arthur?
Yeah, yeah. Because every time when I think about King Arthur, only two things pops up. Clive Owen, I'm like, okay, this dude is amazing. I will never look like him, first of all. And second of all, Grade 10. Because Grade 10 English was all about history with UK, and that's what it. So India has all education from England. So we all learned about all this crap all day long. And
you learned about King Arthur in history class?
Yeah, an Indian dude learning about King Arthur.
In history class, which is the best part about it.
It's weird.
I'm sorry. Like, I mean, maybe I guess this is the point of getting into it, but is that not a fucking fairy tale? Like,
hey, you know what?
Maybe that's the mystery we solve next episode.
Oh, God.
Maybe it's not a fairy tale. The man is actually there. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you the story of King Arthur first, because it's nice and long and it's a lot more fucked up than I thought it was.
Okay.
And then next week I'll tell you if maybe we can figure out if it's a real guy, if he was a real guy in history or not.
My guess, for spoiler.
Okay.
Just like Jesus, no.
Oh, I'm going yes.
All right. I like it. We're starting already.
I'm still going Clive Owen.
An elite team of private detectives.
What if balloons are aliens? Maybe that's the key component we're missing.
Cover-ups.
John's guilty.
Mysteries that need to be solved.
Maybe Mormons need mountains.
Richard, shut up.
Like I said, I thought this was going to be easy. It really isn't. It's a fucking story that's centuries old. Like, literally fucking over 1,000 years old. I should have thought that this would have been complicated. But I just thought, hey, let's talk about King Arthur and see if he's real. That'll be fun. And there's people who have doctorates in Arthurian history. I'm just saying. It's something people study for their life. So I'm just going to tell the story. The fun part about this is that this story has changed so many times over the years that it doesn't fucking matter what you say, because none of it's like I could just make it up. It could be real. I don't know. Whatever I say, it's as close as, from my research, this is the Richard Stoodle version of the King Arthur story. So let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
So before I go, I want to know, what do you guys know about King Arthur? I don't want to assume it last because you went to school for King Arthur stuff.
You went to school for King Arthur. I majored in King Arthur.
Okay, well, let's hear what you guys know about King Arthur, Ricky and RJ first.
Almost nothing. I feel like anything I would know about a king just kind of blends together into all of them. and it was just a bunch of incest, and
so he's just about king it. Incest. Okay, perfect.
It's like just that. They're all when you say the king, like I don't know if we're pledging to the king or if we're not sure if he's real.
It's fair. Let's see what RJ.
Yeah, sword and a stone, and okay, something one. Something something with Sam Neill being a wizard.
Yeah, the knights who say knee. I always think of King Arthur. I always think of Quest of the Holy Grail. It's just
I never remember that the King Arthur is.
Yeah,
why don't I remember that?
Yeah, it's Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. But yeah, so that's and actually. The Monty Python movie, it has a lot of like they're so smart, it's unreal. They took the real legends, basically like what the legends are now, and like they did a really good job of like portraying that in a humorous way, but like sticking to the actual source material. I say that with quotation marks. It's fucking brilliant. After reading a bunch of this, I'm like, these guys, I've had such much more appreciation for Monty Python. So the things I remember right off the bat was like Merlin. That's another thing from King Arthur, the wizard. Lancelot was another one.
That was who Sam Neill played. I couldn't remember.
Merlin. But yeah, so you just know Sword in the Stone. What do you know about Sword in the Stone? I'm just curious. I just want to, because I had such a vague idea too.
Yeah, no, the sword's stuck in the stone and he pulled it out, which I don't know, means he's got the hardest dick in all of England.
Pretty right? much. There you go. That's one of the stories. Okay, Sumit, let's hear what you got your doctorate in.
Take voice, Clive Owen, the main actor, and then you have Keira Knightley as an actress. Oh my God, that woman is beautiful. Then that weird guy who is always doing survival movies with snow and shit, he was like also the bad guy in there. Then it was something about the Britons and stuff. And
so you don't remember grade 10, you just remember that it was in grade 10.
Yeah, I mean, that. At that time, I was too busy with Priyanka, man. I wanted to impress her and shit. So, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. So.
Wait, are you saying they taught you about King Arthur or they showed you the movie King Arthur in school one day?
Good question.
Blurred lines.
I was going to say, because you kind of just, it's like, oh, the substitute taught me about King Arthur. It's like, yeah, the substitute taught me about Hanover too. But. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So, to tell the story, we got to go to back. This is the furthest back we've gone. Usually I like to do historical stuff with murders and shit. This, we're back to 410 AD when the barbarians sacked Rome. It's the beginning of the end of Rome. Rome wasn't exactly like gone when it got sacked. Like the Romans weren't gone, but they were like weak as shit. So the emperor at the time calls back all of his legions from the outer provinces so we could protect Rome, and kind of leaving like the outer provinces defenseless. When there's no protection in these outer provinces, the barbarians start attacking. Britain was an island province of Rome when Rome was sacked. So it wasn't until years later that Rome would fall. Like I said, Rome took over when they did actually take over the Isle of Britain. They didn't take over the whole island. They kind of took over like half of it. But like that half of the island came with like, with Roman stuff like roads, protection, resources, bathhouses, just like a modern civilization.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. By the way, this movie with Clive Owen, the most stacked cast I've ever seen.
Right?
Holy shit. It's Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
And fucking Hugh Dancy. So it's got both counterparts of Hannibal, the series. Fucking Joel Edgerton, Ray Winstone. And then keeping the Ray train going, they got Ray Stevenson, who just died. Dude, this is crazy.
It's a very good movie.
It's good. I watched it recently, like just while I was researching this. It was good. It wasn't historically accurate, but it was fun to watch. It was like a shitty action movie.
Here's where it gets even fucking crazier. It was directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Why is that crazy?
Because that's the dude who directed Training Day.
Oh, that is cool. I didn't know that.
That's wild. And the Equalizer films.
Yeah.
It's cool. I recommend it. Anybody wants to watch anything, it's fucking cool. 5-1's badass.
Go watch that English movie with all white people starring one of the most, or excuse me, directed by one of the most notable black directors in Hollywood.
About King Arthur.
So bizarre.
Like I said, half of Britain was Romanized. Half of it still had like Germanic Celtic people. So when Rome calls back their legions, the Isle of Britain doesn't keep their protection. So as soon as their legions leave, they're like, fuck you, we're taking our spot back. right? I'm just going to call them Saxons through this thing, because there's like so many different types of Germanic people that were around at that time. And it's just hard to keep up with all of it in like an hour. So it's just the Saxons or the barbarians that are fucking attacking the... So I understand. So if people listen to this and they go, there was actually Anglo people attacking as well. Yes, I understand. I'm just calling them Saxons to make our life easy for this, okay? So with the legions gone, the Saxons started to attack the Roman cities. With their cities being attacked, the lords that were left in the Isle of Britain start sending back to the word to Rome to like, we need some protection. And Rome basically said, we're not going to help you anymore. You're on your own. So that was the end of the protection from Rome. And basically when they split off into their own little British kind of people. And the reason they didn't go back to like just the Germanic ways, they liked the fucking roads. They liked having bathhouses. They wanted to keep like the Roman kind of lifestyle, but like not go back to living in the fucking bush, which fair enough. So the Britons, then they get anybody that's Roman, like still loyal to Rome, fucking lob their heads off, get them out of the city. And they start their own kingdom. And yeah, the Saxons nearby, they're fighting amongst each other. The barbarians on one side, the Romani, Germanic Saxons on the other side. So near the end of the 5th century, so about 70, 80 years later, the king of Britain was a guy named Constantine. And he had 3 sons. And when Constantine died, his oldest son, Constans, took the throne. Constans didn't last long. He was assassinated by Constantine's longtime advisor named Vortigern, who hired some Saxon assassins to take him out. And I just love the bad guy names in this. Like Vortigern is like such a, it sounds like a bad guy's name. It's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a side character in Mass Effect.
Yeah, for sure. That's a very good, it sounds like a bad guy alien for sure.
Yeah.
Vortigern made a pact with the Saxons that like they could come sack England or whatever that was called at the time. And they could just keep the throne he keeps the throne as the king, but you guys can like take everything. And he thought that was a good plan. So he took it. Constans had 2 younger brothers, Aurelius and Uther. And they're, when their brother's assassinated and Vortigern takes over, they kind of like flee to Brittany, which is just basically across the channel all over to the north of France. So they can like escape from fucking getting murdered, right? And Vortigern and the Saxons like ruled for a little bit, but that their little Saxon alliance didn't last long because they're like, who the fuck is this Vortigern guy? We're king. I'm king. Fuck you. So they try to like fight him. Yeah, so Vortigern's overrun, just trying to survive with the barbarians, overseeing the operation. Meanwhile, the boys are out in Brittany gathering an army to take their home back. They get older and return so Aurelius could claim the throne because he's the second oldest son. And they immediately get to war, make short work of the Saxons. Yeah, they take over. Instantaneously, they find Vortigern and burn him alive in his castle. Fuck him. Burn him. It's awesome. Just take over my shit. You're dead. With fire. Aurelius is crowned king. And after the war with the Saxons continue. At some point around here, Merlin comes into play. I don't really know. They just say Merlin's around at this point. He's advising people. So I will tell you some stuff about Merlin. He's there's not like much lore about his past, like where he came from. There's a lot of lore like later in his adult years, but like as a kid, I do know a couple things though. His mom was a virgin, like Jesus. So they give him the whole Jesus treatment. Mm-hmm. Except she was like a virgin, but she was like fucked by an incubus. I don't know if you guys know what an incubus is.
Yeah, it's a male demon that rapes
in your sleep. Yeah, it's like a succubus, but the man version. So she was like raped by an incubus, and that child was Merlin. So Merlin's like a magic rape baby. That's why he has magic. So he's a succubus rape baby.
We should spread that message to victims of sexual assault. Like, hey, it's not all bad.
You work hard, put your nose to the grindstone, yeah. You could become Merlin.
Yeah, too bad. It's too bad you live in Alabama and it's illegal for you to get an abortion, and you have to raise a constant reminder of your sexual assault. But hey, maybe he's magic.
So that's the only there's another story about Merlin as a kid where like the king of the town they were in or whatever demanded a child sacrifice, and they found out he was like magic, so they're like, oh, let's kill the magic kid. But he, I guess he was like, I don't know, super young, but he had a premonition about the king. He's going to die tonight if unless he sleeps somewhere else, and he slept somewhere else, and like where he was got attacked by Saxons, and he would have died that night. So the king's like, oh, I could let you survive, Mr. Wizard. I'll let you have your magic, wizard.
I don't know. That's pretty suspicious. It's not a good story.
That just sounds like a kid that was involved. Like yeah, he was going to help attack.
That's where my brain went. It's more like a threat. Like if you don't, you know, treat me better, you know what's coming, pal.
Magic.
Better watch where you sleep.
Yeah. Here's another good Uther, Aurelius, and Merlin story. They wanted, like, Merlin, this is later in life, Merlin wanted to get Stonehenge brought over to Britain. So he's like, let's go there and we'll just take it. I'll use my magic. That's how he built it. He, like, floated it over with his magic from Ireland.
Mm.
So, yeah. So that's how Stonehenge got where it is, because Merlin making a, I guess it was, like, supposed to be a burial ground for fallen soldiers, but, like, sick. Good job, Merlin. Lasted a long time. Vortigern, the guy who killed.
Did we do Stonehenge? Was that one of the ones we did?
We did the American Stonehenge, the Georgia Guidestones or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. And Merlin did that one too? Or?
Yeah, Merlin did the Georgia Guidestones as well.
No, that one was Clive Owen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Vortigern, the guy that was just killed, the bad guy who's killed by Aurelius when he came back. He had kids as well, and one of them's name was Paschint. You guys are going to laugh at me a lot this, because there's a lot of fucked up pronunciation, so here it comes. Paschint. And Paschint raises an army to fight Aurelius and Uther. Aurelius starts to become, during these battles with the other Britons, I guess, the Paschint, Aurelius starts to get sick, really sick. So Uther, the younger brother, takes his army to go face Paschint. On the trip, the army of Uther sees a comet in the sky that looks like a dragon. Merlin sees it and he goes, you know what, Aurelius? That's a sign that you're going to be dead soon, buddy. So Uther's going to take over. Uther, it's happening, buddy. You're going to be king now soon. When they get to the battle, Uther wins the battle against Paschint and his Saxon army. And Uther takes on the surname Pendragon because of the dragon flying through the sky. So his name's Uther Pendragon. Means literally like chief dragon or head dragon.
Yeah, why pen?
It's chief, I guess.
Oh.
Like, or head or leader. And
like, maybe he just likes to draw dragons, like.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Aurelius, you like this?
Yeah, he just did like a bunch of like Rule 34 with dragons.
Just Trogdor? That's where Trogdor came from?
Hold on.
Are you going to share the.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a little. A little taste of what this guy was probably up to. I got it.
I'm excited.
Okay. Yes. Right? Yeah, let's try another one. Bam. Hell yeah.
Yeah, Falcor. Falcor fucking your stepdad's Trans Am. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. I think that's Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, that's done by Uther Pendragon. So good job.
Yeah, some of these are pretty good. Oh
that one's
that.
A really good one. It's really getting in there.
Really getting there. Oh shit. There we go.
That's also a candidate for the Amelia Earhart Wayne blob thing.
Is it? Cause to me it looks like a car inside of a giant dragon's pussy.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me too, but
one more. Oh,
you looked up a very specific like dragon fucking car. Like,
yeah, let's not read into how quickly I pulled up this particular website.
It's not only that you knew it existed. It's just the sheer amount. Like you knew the exact location to go to just.
Yeah, dude.
RJ's looking for a new logo for his company. I can see
definitely this. This fucking whole subreddit rocks.
Are there a lot of dragons fucking objects?
This is a very popular subreddit.
Hundreds of upvotes on all of these. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, here's a.
But why?
I'm hard. That's why. I don't know why I'm hard. I'm just hard. I shouldn't be hard.
I just want to know how this came about. Like, how do you get more than five people involved in this?
Dinkysaurus.
Oh, man.
Look at this. RJ has four people involved without even trying.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna go and create my own and post it and upvote these. Like, this is the last. This is the first and last time I'm gonna see it.
I do like how they say not safe for work beside all these pictures, but they're drawings of dragons fucking cars. Like, who gives a fuck? But I mean, I guess you can't really have that at the kindergarten class.
I mean, yeah, it's
workplaces care. This one, this one, you could show at work.
You see the license plate?
Slud 69.
Yeah. That's this one is Uther Pendragon's masterpiece.
This one I feel is RJ's contribution. Is this your contribution to the page? Right,
I can draw a little bit better than that.
I'm not happy that I know that exists.
After Uther comes back, Uther Pendragon's got his new name. He gets back to the castle.
We know why now.
We know exactly why now. He's the owner of what was that? Fuck dragons with cars?
No, it's dragons fucking cars.
Dragons fucking cars. So he started dragons fucking cars. You'll see if you want to go check that out. That's cool. So Uther gets back. He finds out his brother is even more sick, and they figure out that he's been poisoned, and just like his dad, dies of poison. Just as Uther's showing up back, fucking perfect timing. So now Uther is the last of the brothers. He's the only successor to Britain, so he takes the crown. And in the early part of Uther Pendragon's rule, people love him. He's a strong guy, fucking going to fight the bad guys all the time. He's a great leader. People love that kind of shit. He secures borders after years of wars with the Saxons. More security, more happiness. During the happy times, Uther builds a giant castle called Camelot. Place doesn't exist to this day. Camelot. Some places that I'm going to mention do exist. Camelot does not exist, but we'll talk about a little bit more about that next episode. Even though he had an army and the great castle Camelot, Uther couldn't hold the Saxons off by himself. So he had a bunch of other bannermen that would help him take and defend places. One of these bannermen was the Duke of Cornwall. His name was Garlois. Garlois was married to a beautiful woman named Igraine. During the years of relative peace, Uther holds a feast for his nobles at Camelot, one of them being Garlois and Igraine. This is the first time Uther ever saw Igraine, and they say that he instantly falls in love, like madly in love. I love this girl. She's mine now. And he's flirting with her that whole night, openly right in front of the Duke. Why don't you come up to my room? Like, shit like that. Like, I'm going to fuck you and stuff like that. Duke's pissed. Garlois is like, fuck this guy. But he knew better not to react because Uther's a fucking lethal asshole. He'll kill you. He doesn't care. So what they do is they get back to the room, brings his wife where they're staying that night. They pack up all their shit. And first thing in the morning, they fuck off from the castle. Garlois knew that this was going to be an insult to Uther Pendragon. He didn't even say goodbye to him. He knew there was going to be some sort of repercussion for this. The king was pissed. Everyone knew he was going to be pissed. And he's just pissed because he didn't get what he wanted. He wanted Igraine. He didn't get her. So fuck that guy. Duke Garlois wasn't an idiot. He knew that leaving like that was probably going to be an insult. So he's getting ready for war. So instead of bringing Igraine back to his castle or whatever, Duke Garlois brings her to Tintagel Castle, which was very defensible at its time. And then he gathers his troops, prepare for war against Uther. Tintagel is an actual place that you can visit to this day. That's an actual real place. And it's on the ocean. And it only has like its own natural land bridge that goes to it, a little island that you can hold three people side by side walking across. So you can imagine it being this little mini island where you have like a big castle on it, that it's very defensible, especially the only way to get in is 3x3. He preps in that castle ready for siege. Uther's fucking ready for it. He knows exactly where he is. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to Tintagel. Lay siege on the castle. No effect, really. It's kind of a stalemate, shooting back and forth. Nobody's gaining any ground. But Uther's obsessed, and he just wants to get in and see Igraine. So Uther goes and finds his buddy Merlin, and he goes like, how am I going to get Igraine, Merlin? Like, what do I do? I can't get in there. She's fucking back behind. She's in Tintagel Castle, Merlin. What am I going to do, Merlin? So Merlin's like, I got some free. He says, I can cast a spell that it'll make you look like Garlois, like the Duke of Cornwall, and you just walk right in. Fucking perfect. Sounds good to me. So they needed to get Garlois to leave the castle so he could go in. So Uther decides, I'm just going to like back away from the siege, make it look like I'm fleeing. And then hopefully Garlois comes and chases us, because this has been going on for a while. So he does that. And Garlois senses men, smells weakness. He's like, fucking, I can take care of Uther right now and then. I can see him there. He's leaving with his troops. I'm getting him. So when Garlois leaves, Merlin fucking disguises Uther to look like Garlois. And then he goes, walks in right past the guards. Nobody notices him. Merlin says, he tells him, though, there's a warning. If you cast the spell, Igraine won't be able to resist you either. She's going to want to fuck you right away. But it will bear a child, 100%. So if you get a kid from Igraine, that's my kid now. So you have to give me your child. If you go in there tonight and fuck her and she bears a child, that's my kid.
Who says that?
Merlin tells Uther Pendragon that.
Mother yeah, that's her. Something a rape baby wizard would say.
Yeah. Uther agrees, walks right past the guards, goes right to Igraine's room while the spell makes him look like Garlois. Igraine didn't even realize it was Uther, and Merlin was right. Igraine couldn't resist him. So Uther fucks Igraine. Igraine doesn't know that it's Uther. She still thinks it's her husband. After her encounter with Uther, Igraine is pregnant, just like Merlin predicted. Except Garlois doesn't come home that night. Garlois out all night with the knights chasing down Uther. In the morning, I guess Uther fucks off right away. He just wanted to bang her. Like, he loved her, but I mean, he just couldn't stay... tell her she's him, right? So he leaves. In the morning, Garlois' troops start to sporadically come back, bruised and beaten. Garlois' dead body is being dragged by two half-dead soldiers. So the retreat was really a trick. Uther wanted them to think he had a bunch of archers just waiting for them to, like, leave so he could kill. So he killed. Garlois was dead. Most of his men were killed. So then Igraine's like, when she sees Garlois, she's like, he was just with me. And then she realizes what had happened, like, fucking Uther fucked me last night. Like, that's Uther. God damn it. How did I not know? This is also when Igraine figures out that Uther had tricked her into fucking him and that, well, a cream pie sounded fun idea at the time. It probably wasn't the best idea.
I mean, that rocks for him, though. Like, he gets away with it and then, like, gets found out, but only in a way where, like, he can just, like, still, like, high-five all the other knights and stuff. And then Merlin has to raise his stupid fucking baby. Like... that's a win-win-win.
For everyone but Igraine.
I don't think she's the hero of our story.
She, to top it off, after making her a widow, Uther just marries her. She's mine now. I married her. Uther and Igraine soon after bring their son, Arthur Pendragon, into the world. And as promised, Uther gives his infant child to Merlin as payment for his rape spell. Grain's pissed. She's the one who's like, it's still my kid. Like, I still want to have my kid. No, I'm not allowed. Okay.
Take it up with the wizard.
Take it up with the wizard, I guess. Take it up with the rape baby.
Yeah.
Two rape babies. Like, I feel like it's better environment for a rape baby to be amongst himself.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make a right.
Two rapes don't make a right? Okay. Uther, on the other hand, figures, you know what? He should just take Arthur anyway, because I've been kind of like fighting with my own people over Igraine for a long time, and now the Saxons are starting to build up a nice fucking army and they're not safe at home. I gotta send him to be safe with Merlin anyway. So that's his, like, justification. Like, I'm probably gonna get fucking killed here, so I need to save my bloodline. Yeah, Uther doesn't have the same hold over the region, is losing battles and real estate. People are starting to dislike Uther, even within his own court. So some of Uther's own people start to work with the Saxons, classic age-old story. Like his father before him, or Uther's being poisoned by a Saxon assassin. Uther gets sicker and sicker, but still demanding to go to war. And then Uther just succumbs to the poison. I don't know, Arthur's very young. They don't say exactly how old, but he's an infant, like a baby. Maybe 1 year old. He'd been gone for a little bit. So Merlin had all these prophecies. There's all sorts of, he probably had a prophecy about this. So he probably was like, ooh, I got to raise him somewhere else because he's going to die here. So he brought him to the countryside to live with a guy named Sir Ector. Merlin, when he brings him the kid, just says, hey, can you take care of this kid for me? Doesn't tell him that it's Uther and Igraine Pendragon's kid. So that was probably a smart idea. So after Uther dies, Merlin takes Uther's royal sword and buries it in an anvil or a stone. It's two different things in different stories. And he binds it there with magic. And then below he puts an inscription which reads, whoso pulleth out this sword from this stone is right wise king born of all England. So only the true king could remove it from the stone. Over the next 15 years, many people try to remove the royal sword from the stone, but none had succeeded. England was without a monarch. it wasn't complete chaos. They still had like leaders and stuff, just no one taking like the big boy spot. Lots of corrupt scheming. Kingdom needed a king, really. Let's just talk about Arthur for a bit here, back with Sir Ector. So
Uthor had no kids of his own? Like, there was no.
Yeah, the one rape baby.
But that was it, right?
Yeah. Ygraine had other kids from the Duke of Cornwall, which we'll talk about her a little bit later. But yeah, Arthur had definitely had siblings. Well, one major sibling. Two other ones that don't really come up much.
Hmm.
I would like to say that for the longest time here, I thought Uther was just a dumbass, old-timey way of pronouncing Arthur, and that's what we were sticking with. So I had no idea that we weren't already talking about King Arthur.
Yeah, Uther was his father.
Yeah,
that sounds fake.
Because remember that whole Constantine thing was there too. Constantine and Constantan or something. It's the same Uther Arthur now.
It's kind of just like a reiteration of his name, for sure. That's how, anyways, it's this is happening in fucking 500 AD. You know what I mean? Like the year 500-ish. So like, Jesus. King Arthur, Sir Ector. So Sir Ector already had a kid as well. So his name was Kay, and he was a bit older than Arthur. And Arthur, when he growing up, looked up to Kay. And by the time Kay was 18, he was knighted. And Arthur was his squire. Arthur was 15 years old, and they head to the capital, London, for a tournament and or celebration. I don't really jousting slash sword fighting slash feasts tournament kind of thing. And usually the jousting was like the big event, but like the sword fighting was kind of for the newer knights. And Sir Kay was like excited to go there and compete in the sword fights. And while they're practicing the day before the fights, Sir Kay's sword breaks and he blames it on Arthur. Arthur fucking feels bad and he goes out that night in to the nighttime London to go like find a replacement sword for Sir Kay. And he comes across the beautiful looking sword that's sitting in that stone in the middle of the town square. Pulls it out easily, brings it back, not knowing what it is. Sir Kay instantly knows exactly what it is when he brings it to him. Doesn't really say anything to Arthur. He just brings it to the tournament. He's like, I got a sword. Cool. I'm going to fight. I got the fucking sword. Hopefully nobody notices. And if they do, I'll just say I'm king now.
What language did these people speak?
It would have been like an old English, like an early Germanic version of English.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like records of that from like 500?
No, that's the Dark Ages. There's not really much going on in history-wise, like a lot of oral tradition around that time in Europe, but not a lot written. We'll see, like, this is why it's lasted so long. It's because of the 300-year gap between the first mention of Arthur in real history and his supposed existence.
Yeah, that is wild to me because, like, you say it's like the year 500, but there's like virtually no difference between that and like the year 1200.
That's how this evolved. It shouldn't have been like that at all. Yeah, but that's how this has evolved into them having plate armor. Plate armor didn't come around till like the thousands. Like stonework castles didn't come around till way later too. So it's just nuts. Yeah.
If you had the opportunity to travel in time for like 24 hours, but like you could only go to that year and you would end up there like Terminator style, like naked in the middle of the biggest city they got. Would you take that opportunity?
No, I'd be dead.
Yes.
It wouldn't last the 24 hours. I'd be dead.
I would take that opportunity. I promise. I don't know what year I would pick.
And well, no, it has to be the year 500 or nothing.
24 hours in any time period I pick? Yes, of course I'm going to do that. 24 hours in year 500? No, fuck that.
How long am I there, though? Forever?
24 hours.
Oh, 24 hours? 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not really like long enough to like get hungry or thirsty, but you are
naked. I'd find food. There's other naked people out about in the year 500. Not even a thing.
I just feel like you'd stick out so much. You'd be like 9 inches taller than everybody.
Yeah, but that means nobody would fuck with you, probably.
Yeah, but probably, I think that means people would especially fuck with you. The naked giant walking around town. Get your swords, men.
Demon is here.
Yeah. They're speaking a weird language. I recognize some words, but...
Could I bring, like, one thing that I'm able to carry with me? You're
naked.
I know. I'm not going to have pockets, but I have hands.
You can bring one non-mechanical thing, no bigger than a CD case.
Okay, no, I'm going to bring a drawing of dragons fucking cars. Nice. Because, I mean...
He's royalty.
Yeah.
Bandragon is here.
To them, they'll be more blown away by the car than the dragon, and that's what's cool.
Yeah, Merlin will be in the corner, like, look at my fireball, and they're like, shut the fuck up. This guy's doing some crazy stuff.
Have you heard of Jetstream, Merlin?
That chick would be like, fuck me, I don't even look like anybody else. We will make a baby, and you can take the baby away again, because you have a car. What is that? It's El Camino.
What is this, El Camino? Kay gets the sword, the royal sword, from the stone, brings it to the tournament. People recognize the royal sword automatically and go, who pulled that from the stone? That's out now? Sir Kay automatically goes, it was I pulled it out. And then his dad, Sir Ector, walks around the corner and goes, where'd you get the sword, son? He goes, it was Arthur. So he like couldn't lie. He lied to everyone. And as soon as his dad came into play, he didn't lie. Kay, just a little bit about Kay. Kay's actually like the foil to Arthur in like most literature. He's like always complaining about Arthur's like Mr. Righteous, whatever, good guy in ways. You'll see that he's a fucking psycho in others. But Kay's always complaining about shit. But when he's the king, when he is the most loyal to Arthur, I make him sound like a little bitch here, but he tries his best. Let's say that. Okay. Once people find out the kid took the sword from the stone, they named him the King of England, as per the whoso pulleth may become King of England or whatever. And then there's peace for years and years until Arthur's death of natural causes. Just kidding. Soon as he's crowned, Arthur goes to war. He's like, fuck this, I'm fighting. Let's go fight. He's sick of the fucking Saxon invaders. So he gets a giant army. A very inspirational young man, because he's 15 years old, remind you. But since he pulled that sword out, everyone's backing him now. Fuck, let's back the King Arthur.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's not like he didn't command respect. He was middle-aged, you know?
Yeah. He's lived a life already, you know?
Yeah.
Very experienced. Yeah, so he wants to end the Saxons. Arthur is the only way to do this. We get a giant army, and we be as ruthless as we possibly can to fucking take out these assholes. So he starts fighting them in the field of battle like a normal war, but then he'll also like, when they separate at night and the Saxons go, oh, we're tired, we're going to sleep, we'll fight again tomorrow. They go sleep. Arthur fucking goes and kills them while they're sleeping. That's the kind of crazy shit this guy's nice. Doing. Yeah. Just masterpiece. No,
that rocks. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's way better than like knights who like fight with honor and shit. Those guys are like, I'm not going to say it even though I'm a 90s kid, but you know.
Red baby rules.
That's the beauty of Arthur, because that's the whole knights that fight with like honor and stuff is because of Arthur later. But in his early young man years, he was a fucking psycho.
It's smart.
It's smart for sure. But I mean, it's not honorable.
What are you gonna do? Face him head on? Oh.
It feels more humane. Like if he just clean off the head.
Yeah, honor is fucking shitty propaganda from the enemy to convince you to have empathy and weaker tactics. All right,
it's true. Exactly, and the Geneva Conventions.
Yeah, those losers.
So yeah, Arthur makes quick work of the fucking Saxons for a lot of time. This is the last major battle with Arthur and the Saxons. It's called the Battle of Badon, which we'll talk about more in the next episode. That's a real battle that happened. And was it Arthur there? Who knows? So at the end of the battle, Arthur is said to have killed single-handedly 960 men. 960 people by himself in one fight. That's what they say. That's how badass Arthur was. Yeah, so they didn't really have leadership anymore. So the Saxons were done being a problem for many years. Once the Saxons are taken care of, Arthur says, you know what? Let's go back. We'll chill out now. We finally have the Saxons taken care of. And he grew old and died of old age, peace across the country. Just kidding. Arthur's like, you know what? We killed the Saxons. We still got a crazy army. Let's go take some more shit. So he starts to go fucking doing the same shit, just fighting people and then kill them while they're sleeping. He conquers. Nice.
Did he start threatening their kids?
I don't even, like, I would have.
That's probably the only next thing he could do to escalate.
I feel like he was just taking, like, if they didn't bow, they were getting killed, child or not. You know, he conquers what is modern day France, Iceland, Germany, before he decides, you know what, I better go back. We're getting a little tuckered out here.
And all before morning. Wow.
I love how like in 500-ish year, the year 500, there was like nothing on Iceland at all. Like he just would have had to go there and go, that's mine. Like, I just love how they just say, yep, conquered Iceland. Like, okay, sure. Maybe
he slits a walrus's throat while it's napping on a rock.
Yeah, it's mine. And then after all this big battle and he's heading back and everything, they come across this little town. They squeeze the story, and I love that Arthur legend squeezed it in, because sometimes it doesn't really, shouldn't really go at that point. It should go in other places. I don't know why it came here. So right after this big epic battle, Arthur's finally taken over all these places, going back home. They come across a little town, and the little town's like, oh man, you know, there's nearby cannibal giant. It's like terrorizing our town. Can you do something about it? And then Arthur's like, yeah, dude, I got you. And he goes and kills this fucking giant for this little town and keeps on heading on, you know? And they say cannibalistic giant, which I find, is it a giant who eats giants? Because, like, why is he killing that? Just let them eat each other to existence. But, I mean, Arthur went and took him out. But that seems like a weird part to put that. Like, you put that early on, he fought it on the way, it got stronger because he fought the giant, and then he just, like, fights the big war. But no, he fights the war and there's one giant. Let's take him out.
Didn't we make that argument in the giant episode?
It could be. I don't remember.
Like the cannibal thing. Like if it's a cannibal, isn't it just eating other? I feel like we did.
Yeah, but I think we did for sure.
But that is excellent way to tie that in if that's the case.
Yeah. So, yeah, they make it back to Camelot, after which follows 12 years of peace. And I'm being serious this time. During the 12 years of peace, a lot of shit happens. It's hard for me to put this all chronologically, because it's so all over the place and who knows what happened when. I do know a few things happened before a few other things, but like, so I just started to, how am I going to order this? I started with the obvious question, maybe to me, maybe not to you guys, but the obvious question to me was like, okay, well, now we have an Arthur, we have a Merlin. What happens with these Knights of the Round Table? What's this story all about? Legends tell the stories a few different ways, but let's just talk about the Round Table for a second first, so that'll get into the knights. So the Round Table said to either be a gift from Merlin to Uther Pendragon, like kind of like a housewarming gift when he opened up Camelot, or it's just like, and it was willed to Arthur after his death, or it was a gift to Arthur from Merlin for coming back from war, or it was from Arthur's wife's dad, like Leo de Grance is the guy's name. We'll talk about him in a little bit.
Either way, dude, terrible gift. There's nothing good about a round table. It does not like fit any style or shape room. It only serves to be annoying. Like you need angles to have a comfortable table. Like, you know what I mean?
There's always someone pressed up against the wall or something.
Yeah, or like wall, it's just like you just feel like you never feel like you have like enough room to like, you know what I mean? Like, because imagine like if your desk was just like a little circle, that'd be annoying as shit.
Do you, okay, well here, this would be even more annoying for you then. Like, hey, what do you guys know? Do you know anything about the round table? Like, I assumed from the media I've seen a few things about the round table, but like, what did you? Did I say round table? What do you think? Like, it's big round, annoying table. Cool.
Definitely an oval. I'm going oval.
Okay.
I think I know where you're going with this, and I don't care because none of it's real anyways. So
cool. I had assumption it was 12 people sitting around the round table. The table's supposed to fit 150, a big ass round table for 150 knights. Like, how annoying would that fucking be? Yeah.
I was very wrong. I thought for some reason I remember hearing that it like wasn't actually round or something.
No.
I thought that was the thing you were going for. Yeah, that's kind of like the whole like thing with like how like, you know, white people, idiots think the earth is flat. So I think if it's that big, you might not experience the curvature quite so much. So
yeah, you'd have to have a gigantic room. Like that'd be a fucking massive table.
That would also be very annoying.
And you wouldn't be able to hear the guy. Like you'd hear three guys beside you. That'd be the end of it. Mm-hmm. It'd be a fucking loud mess.
But it's like the United Nations.
Well, the cool thing is it's round, so you just go in a circle. Like you say, like tell him that I said this.
Yeah. By the end, you're killing a grain. What? Yeah.
Who's catering this event?
They had slaves, buddy. Let's not... are you bringing that up for a reason?
No. I'm just saying, is this good food with 125 people around round table? I'm pretty sure they're not having no conversation there. Just eat, drink, and do whatever, I guess.
Think about how That's much I mean. Empty space is yeah, in the middle waste. Of that fucking
yeah,
table.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's the most inefficient shape.
Unless it's a donut, like a donut with like a slit through it, so you can walk, like the servers could walk in the middle and serve you from the middle. Or like, like a Benihana. It had like a big fucking like...
Oh, hibachi?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Shit. Yeah, they're just fucking like drinking mead and eating fried rice. That does rock.
Yeah, we need an elephant skull for a centerpiece of this table. We need to fill space.
Yeah. They're just getting shit faced. Like, do the thing. Flip, break the egg on Spatula. It's great. Watch. And they're beating him when he drops it.
The round table, the reason it's round is so there's no person at the head of the table. They were all considered equals, the King Arthur included. Anybody that would be sitting around that would be an equal to Arthur. But it's just Arthur, so no one's equal to you. You're by yourself. So he wants to fill this with 149 new knights. Why does he want to fill it up with so many knights? It's peacetime. Want to know why? Because they want to go questing. That's literally what they want to do. They want to go on quests. Let's do some quests. It's like a fucking video game.
Yeah, he's got to grind.
You're literally describing the United Nations and them deciding, like, all right, what war in what country are we going to fight this year?
Yeah, it's pretty close, actually. Yeah. They have different... They fight, like, mythical creatures and stupid shit like that. But, yeah, it's... I guess North Korea is a mythical creature in its own right.
Saddam Hussein.
That's true. Yeah, dude. Come on. Like, terror? The war on terror?
We fought drugs once. Losing that.
Yeah. Still. These are all mythical problems.
True, yeah. So, yeah. It's a very funny way to put that. The drugs and terrorism. We've been fighting those for years. No one's getting any headway here.
Oh, someone is. It's called the U.S. government.
It's actually sad we've done better against the terrorists than drugs when you think about it.
Because it's not, there is no war.
Because the drugs is just a battle with ourselves and we're too good.
The drugs is... No, nobody's actually fighting the drugs.
Drug is Merlin.
Yeah.
Doing magic shit.
Merlin's coming up right now. So our hero, Mr. Arthur, King himself, with the help of Merlin, begins to quest to gather what he'd soon be calling the Knights of the Round Table. And he does actually fill the table eventually with all the knights. I can't name them all because it's 150, but I'll name some of the more famous ones for fun.
Coward.
Fuck, 150, that would have been annoying. That would have been right.
How many of them had the same name? It had to be at least a couple.
Well, the ones that I have here, none of them have the same name. And a lot of them are father-son combos, like Sir Galahad is Sir Lancelot's son. You know what I mean? Like there's... Some of them are Sir Kay is Arthur's brother. There's Sir Gawain. I think he's Bedivere's kid, I think. I'm pretty sure. Sir Palamedes, Sir Tristan, Sir Gareth, Sir Geraint, Sir Bors.
What was the representation here like? Like, was it, do they try to put a focus on diversity since they're all equal? Like, was there KOCs, Knights of Color?
They were all equally white, I'm sure of it.
Is there any gender fluid knights?
No.
Palamedes has a gender neutral name, so I'm not sure. But it's Sir. So there's no theys. It's all Sirs. So I think it's all guys.
I think they were just giving invitations at this point. It's like, oh my God, 10 more seats. We got to fill this, bitches. Let's do this. Do you have a brother? Bring him.
There's a point where I feel like. Like, I was reading a lot about this. There's a point where I feel like that's like, at one point, I didn't write this in the story. It's one of the little stories that's about Galahad. I guess Galahad's hanging, like, Lancelot was tricked into having sex with this other girl, another rape baby. Galahad's another rape baby. But she didn't know, and she was being, that Galahad was being taken, brought up by the mom. And then she brings him out, like, as a little kid, and like, you want to knight this one? And Lancelot's like, I guess so. And he just knights a little kid. And he's like, you got to sit at the table now, pal. Like, I feel like you're right. They're just fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like, when a club papers the room and then just like everybody comes in and it's like, you know, like the comedian isn't that popular. It's just the tickets were free and the discount on the drinks. Like,
for sure. Yeah.
Arthur wasn't really a draw.
Well, here's the, Arthur's not a draw. You used to be cool, man. Now you just have a round table. Fuck off.
Yeah, they're just like, Arthur, he's inviting us to something. I don't know. But, I mean, we should probably go and check out this table. It sounds wild.
He is the king. I don't really understand.
I heard there are tacos.
There was a code, though. Like, you couldn't just get in. You had to follow a code of ethics, their code of chivalry. So if you wanted to be a knight of the round table, you had to take an oath to promise to adhere to these strict rules. So this is, you took an oath. Sumit, this is kind of why I was like, oh, there's an oath to be a knight. So rule number one, it's to never do outrage nor murder. So don't assault or murder anyone. Rule number one seems like a pretty reasonable rule.
Well, King right? Arthur goes away then. This bitch murdered 940 people yeah. in one night. So this cycle is gone.
Yeah, yeah. Starting now. Starting now.
Starting now, exactly. Starting yeah, now.
Moving forward.
Rule number two.
No, always... Rule number two, don't think about the past.
Yeah. Live in the present. Rule number two, live in the present. No. Rule number two, always to flee treason. So do not commit treason. Okay, fair rule.
Ooh, I hear that very differently.
You do it and then run from it.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
And here's the rule that I thought RJ's going to like from Arthur, because Arthur, here's the rule. I was like, Arthur changes a bit. So to by no means be cruel, but to give mercy unto him who asks for mercy. So don't be cruel and give mercy to those who ask, even in battle. So I'm sure the people he was killing while they were sleeping weren't like, no, don't kill me while I'm sleeping. Like, let me get my sword.
Hold on. How dare you? Can you think of a more merciful death?
Like, while you're sleeping, while your kids are like murdered beside, last thing you see is like someone coming out.
No. You don't want them to see anything. And if they do, that's not your fault. They shouldn't have woken up. But... You tried. That's the important part.
I guess, know? Okay.
All they did was go to sleep and never wake up.
I just feel like rule number three got the first few nights killed. Like, I feel like they're like, yeah, you mercy, buddy. And then they just get stabbed in the back when the guy gets back up. Like,
well, they're
feel
doing
like
it wrong. They're doing it wrong. You got to wait for the enemy to get sleepy.
Oh, yeah. You just keep them there until, like, yeah. I'll give you mercy, yeah. but I don't feel safe right now.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like, you know, like...
Give him a melatonin.
I'm here to show you mercy, but only once you go night night.
Yeah, because I am too scared of you.
There's a little bit of sativa, there's a little bit of melatonin. Have it, and you'll get your mercy.
Rule number four: to always do ladies, gentlewomen, and widows succor. That means help. So help women if they need it. Any women.
Sexually or?
That brings us to rule number five. Rule number five is to never force ladies, gentlewomen, or widows. The description says never, quote, harm women, but I interpret that a bit different. Don't rape women. That's rule number five. Don't rape.
This is like trying to get your super misbehaving, law-breaking town to all follow the rules by just like deputizing everybody all at once.
Yeah. No, this is, yeah, they're pretty woke for being 1500 years ago.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't rape real woke. I feel like that's a very woke rule.
I mean, in the 500s.
Yeah, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woke for their time. I
that
gotcha.
Was that was yeah. really transgressive type ideology they were pitching out there.
There's two more rules. Rule number six, not to take up battles and wrongful quarrels for love or worldly goods. Basically, if you're going to fight, do it for God. Lame.
Oh, did they say God or did they say just do it for the love of fighting?
Or it could be that too. Yeah, don't take up wrongful quarrels or love for worldly. So don't do it for things. So maybe just because you love bloodlust. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I interpreted that different, but yes, you're correct.
Let's go after midnight. Kill these fools, you know?
Yeah,
it's not murder.
What's
if they're
plan
sleeping?
Tonight, boys? Ooh, we're getting up to some mercy.
I can't wait to check this new dagger out.
And then rule seven was to fear God and maintain His church.
It was just to cover the bases. Like they just threw that one at the end. You know, that one was with a wink.
Yeah.
Fear God, as if we're not God taking the lives of hundreds of men while they nap.
I killed 960 in one night. I am a God. Yeah. I am a God.
Yeah.
So yeah, so he starts to fill his table up, starts to go questing. Now I can't name all the quests. In fact, I think I'm going to do little baby bonus episodes where I'll bring up an Arthurian knight and I'll give them their story here and there just by myself. Because I find this like fun.
Oh yeah, like what were these guys' compensation for enjoying bloodlust and refraining from rape?
Lordship, knight. Lordship. They were knight of the Round Table. There was stature. You probably famous.
Exposure.
Yeah. Better mortgage
that
rate.
That was what he was paying.
Well, they got. I'm sure they got paid. They were knights. Like they weren't. I don't know the exact amount of dollars, but they were doing well. They had full plate armors and they had beautiful swords and fucking weapons and shit. Like, they were not hurting.
All right.
Purposely going to omit the quest for the Holy Grail as well, because the Holy Grail itself will get its own private dick in the next couple of years because the Nazis went looking for it. I'm just saying. I have to talk about the Holy Grail act. Like, from... I have to talk all about it.
It's in a dusty box in Richard's attic that just says Grandpa.
Oh my god.
All right, let's talk about King Arthur's girl. Meets a girl named Guinevere. One of Arthur's quests was to go out and stop a black knight that had been plaguing the local forest. He's not letting anybody get into the forest, okay? So Arthur says, you know what? I'm going to go fucking kick that knight's ass. You know, let people through the forest. This is fucking Arthur's country. You can go through that forest if you'd like. So Arthur goes, stands up to this black knight. Black knight's not going to let him go. Arthur gets his ass kicked, handed right to him. Now, almost died. Struck off his horse when he was trying to sword fight him with his horse. Gets knocked off, but his boot gets stuck in the in the spur of the horse. And the horse pulls him away through the forest, away from the black knight. If he didn't get his foot stuck, the knight would have killed him for sure.
That is humiliating. He should have died.
He should have died. That would have been the end of the story, but he definitely didn't. He ends up at a house of a young lady named Guinevere. Not in the fight anymore. Arthur's disappointed.
He shows up there like, oh, hello, miss, untangling his foot. He's like, I was just practicing this new way I've taught myself to ride a horse.
Yeah, he's got a big scar because he got hit in the face by a sword. That's how he got knocked off the horse. Yeah. So he had a big cut across his face and everything. He was fucking looking pretty like you got fucked up, dude. But he still, he meets her. Hello, young lady. Oh, this is just a flesh wound. Minor wound. Like the Black Knight.
Remember rule number 5, do not harm women. So don't try to get your freaking dick in our ass. You know?
No, he just talks to her for a little bit and then he's not in the fight anymore. Glad to see a pretty girl in his face. Lady Guinevere was from Northumbria. She had still hadn't married. She was the Duke's kid. And whoever married her was to become in charge of Northumbria. Arthur didn't know this yet, but she would be married to him in the coming years. But Arthur can't stay to flirt with her. He's got a black knight to kill. So he heads back to Camelot. Thanks, Guinevere, for her kindness, but he goes back to Camelot. He heals up and discusses with his buddy Merlin.
How do you heal up from a sword to the face? What do you mean sword to the face?
Got sliced. He got sliced in the face. He didn't get fucked up. Like, he's not like...
Did he swing and then like maybe like his mouth was open and
like got the Joker?
And then it turned him into Joker. That would be cool. To Joker Knight.
Let's say that's what Arthur looked like for the rest of his life. Sure. This is Richard Sewell's version.
Ye wish to know how I've obtained these scars.
Why so serious, you know?
Why so serious? He's got scars on his face from this. Let's say Joker scars. Perfect. That's amazing. Then he sits down with Merlin and he's like, dude, I got to go kill this fucking guy. He's not letting people through the forest. What are we going to do? Merlin says, you know what? I'm going to disguise you as a woman and you're going to go rape him to death with this magic. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't give him a rape. Imagine giving him a rape spell to kill the Dark Knight. That'd be amazing.
Wait, we're calling him the Dark Knight now?
Or the Black Knight.
Yeah, no, we are.
Sometimes accidents.
You're going to get the Batman.
So Merlin.
Okay, Arthur.
Merlin
actually
tells...
that works because if you've seen the Joker movie, his name's Arthur.
It is. That's Arthur, right. Whatever it is, yeah, for sure. That's fucking
Arthur
hilarious.
Curry?
Did you just say Curry? Because is that to be funny or
no? I thought it was his name was Arthur Curry or something. I don't know. I'm wrong. Maybe.
It is. I don't know. I don't remember his name. Yeah.
Anyways, Dark Knight it is. Let's go.
I thought you just said Curry because you're brown, dude. I thought you were just like Curry. I'm like, no, it's not that.
Rule number 8. No, okay.
Fleck.
Oh, Arthur Fleck. Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Talks to Merlin. Merlin says, dude, it's too dangerous. You just got fucked up. Like, it's not happening. I got a better idea. Let's go to a place. I'm going to bring you to a place. We can get you a good weapon to fight this Dark Knight. We're going to get you you can go face him again. So Merlin tells him to follow him and they do their little side adventure, side quest. Merlin brings Arthur to the magical land of Avalon. Avalon isn't a real place. It's mythical. It was even mythical to these 6th century people. Like, it was considered where the dead went and where they were taken care of. Anyways, it's a mythical place. of magic and merriment. Arthur brings him to a lake in Avalon, and he does this weird encampment thing. He gets inside the water, does some enchantment. As he's done, a single arm raises from the middle of the lake. The arm is that of a woman, and it's holding a sword. Merlin tells Arthur to go get the sword, and if you are worthy of it, you can have it. If not, the arm will pull you down into the water and drown you. So Arthur's up for the task. He goes out to grab the sword, and when he goes to grab the sword, he has it in his hand for a brief second before the lady pulls him down. Just for a second, she gives him the sword, and she whispers to him, "Be worthy to wield this sword. The sword is named Excalibur." And then she lets him go. Sword in Arthur's hand. So she kind of gave him a little weird warning there. I like Merlin advertised that differently. He's like, if you are worthy, you can have it. She's just like, yeah, you know what? If you be worthy, just be it, man. Be what you want to be, you know? So Merlin explained how the lady in the water rewards those who are worthy, and he seems that he's worthy. So they head out to Avalon, back towards Camelot. Before I go too far in this story, let's just talk about Excalibur for a second. Excalibur wasn't Arthur's only sword. That was his war sword, fighting. He had a sword of peace, and that sword had a name. Do you want to know? Guess the name of King Arthur's peace sword, please.
Bicalibur.
Doug?
Okay, it's a good guess. Bicalibur. Yeah. No, it's not that, but cool. I like it.
Harley Quinn.
Batarang. No, his sword of peace was named Clarent. Fucking stupid. Clarence was used more for like knighting.
Clarence Thomas
is that what you said?
Clarence Thomas. Yeah.
This sword only fights when I bribe it.
Yeah, Clarence was the knighting sword. So whenever you got knighted on the Round Table, Clarence touched your shoulders. Clarence's a part of the story later. I just had to bring up Clarence. That's why. With that Excalibur in hand, Arthur goes back to the forest to fight the Black Knight. The newly weaponized Arthur easily defeats the Black Knight. Now he's got a new sword. Fucking badass ass kicker. Instead of killing the knight, Arthur does the rule and he grants some mercy, him and his family mercy. Ends up being one of his knights, Sir Pellinore. Sir Pellinore tells him, hey, you're a wicked knight. Instead of fighting each other, why don't we fight together? And then he became Sir Pellinore. He found his name, Sir Pellinore.
Penguin?
Sir Pellinore. Sir Pellinore. The Round Table is just like Gotham Asylum.
It's Batman's rogues gallery.
Sir Pellinore is one of the less fun knights with few stories, minus the Black Knight one where he essentially is the villain until the end. I'm not really going to go much into Sir Pellinore. But I will tell you, Excalibur actually wasn't just the thing that the Lady of the Lake gave him. She actually gave him like a sheath or like a scabbard or whatever, which was also magical. And as long as Arthur had the sheath, he couldn't die in combat. In fact, the quote is, his wounds would not bleed. I feel like that's like different than you can't die in combat. I feel like you just won't bleed, but you can have some fucking scary ass flesh wounds. You know, if you're fighting, just get your gut cut open. You're just not going to bleed, but still there.
Or maybe it's just emotional attacks, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Arthur, you look like Joker.
Yeah, so basically with that sheath and Excalibur, he was basically invincible. I think the sheath would probably be the more important piece of gear, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like he has a lot of swords, so it can be replaced. And you know what I'm thinking, why the fuck is Merlin still exist? Cut that fool, you know, he's just costing too much. Let him go. We have like all the things we need right here.
Okay. Yeah, no, Merlin actually brought him to the sword. Now fucking get rid of him. You got all you needed from that guy. He made your dad rape your mom to make you. I don't know why Merlin would be around. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's what he does. Just changes you to look something else, then fucking forces you to have sex with women, and then take the babies away. Weirdo.
Yeah, Merlin's not a good guy.
No.
And after this fight, Arthur meets Guinevere again. So he goes back to meet her. Mm. She still doesn't have a husband, but Arthur has all his magical gear, and he's actually got his knights with him and stuff. But he comes across her fort again, and he finds out that it's being attacked by a rogue army of Saxons. And her father, Leo de Grance, guy I mentioned as might have been give the gift of the Round Table to them, he was having a hard time keeping the barbarians at bay. So when Arthur shows up with a sword and a sheath and a little royal army, he says, hey, man, can you help us out here? And Arthur says, sure. And he destroys the first wave of Saxons that come in easily. The second wave starts to come up and Arthur tries to negotiate with the Saxon chieftain, offering them single combat in exchange for the many lives lost in combat. I'll fight you one-on-one. We'll just call it a day. Whoever wins, go the opposite way. And the Saxon guys were up for it. They wanted to fight. Their chieftain just won a bunch of sword fights, and he was a really like tough dude. Arthur's invincible. So he wins the joust easily, fucking saves the fort. Guinevere's family, saves all them. So Leo de Grance, the Duke of that court or that fort or whatever his title was, he's excited. He's so excited. He goes, you know what? You could marry my daughter. I saw you looking at her. She's yours now, pal. You know, you can have her.
That's working good.
Yeah. Arthur asks for a hand in marriage because he doesn't force. She accepts and they get married. A little bit of a side note here. When they're kind of like doing their little getting together thing, Merlin tells Arthur that Guinevere is bad news. You don't want to get with Guinevere. She's going to be the cause of your destruction.
That's what Merlin said?
Merlin says that, yeah. She's too hot for you, buddy. You know, she's going to be a distraction. Get like a homely lady who's going to stay home. You're not thinking about it all the time. You got to fight. You're a king, man. You know, stop with this chick. She's a problem. And after that, this is when Merlin kind of disappears from the Arthur story. So you're not wrong. It kind of gets rid of them there. Merlin actually has his own adventures, all sorts of stuff. But one of them is that he gets ambushed by some witches and he gets bonded to a tree stump for the rest of the time. He's still like in a tree stump to this day. So like he's gone. He's out of the story. He's a tree stump now.
Good riddance.
See you later, Merlin, you fuck. He meets Guinevere, gets married. We know where Merlin ended up. Let's talk about Lancelot a bit. Lancelot's one of the more famous knights, and he has a big part in Arthur's story. So he might be the most interesting knight because Lancelot is the guy who gets Arthur killed in the end, really. Now, Lancelot is Arthur's most skilled and perfect knight at the Round Table. He's also Arthur's biggest enemy within the Knights of the Round Table. But he's also the most skilled knight at the Round Table. He's skilled enough that he gets assigned the most important job as one of the Queen's Guard. Some stories have this next part happen differently, but this is what I think it is. So this is what we're going with. So as the Queen's Guard, Guinevere and Lancelot fall in love behind Arthur's back. The other way it is that Lancelot sent to go pick up Guinevere from her fort before the wedding and they fall in love during that trip. I don't believe that. I think they'd be married first. And after he's his guard, they start to love each other or whatever. So anyways, the Lancelot's banging Guinevere behind Arthur's back. And then at some point, Guinevere is abducted by a wicked knight named Malignant. It's Malignant. Malignant, but malignant. It looks kind of like Malignant.
Well, that's not good. He should get it checked.
Ba-dum-sh. I'm working all night. Tip your waitresses. Try the VA. So yeah, at some point, Guinevere is traveling between what little town and Camelot or whatever. And she had one night and she's in a cart. It's not Lancelot. Lancelot's off doing other things. Guinevere is attacked by they're ambushed out in the middle. And as the battle went on, the knight's fighting these people. And she doesn't want her knight to get killed. So she just gives herself up. So her knight doesn't die in battle. Meligent was the son of a guy named Badge Magus, who was the king of a realm of Gore. The realm of Gore, which is another fake place that doesn't exist to this day. It might have been a place, but it's not known where it is. This is another weird place, though. It's an outerworldly realm of the north with two bizarre bridges to get to it. One's called the Sword Bridge, and the other one's the Underwater Bridge. And that's all I know about Gore. So I don't really know much about it. I looked into it. It's very sparsely talked about. I bet you I could study this for 25 years and figure it out, but I'm not doing that. Meligent brings the queen to his impenetrable castle in Gore and holds her for ransom. He tells the knight that survived that you go back to Camelot. You tell King Arthur that I want to fight you or one of your knights, I don't care, in single combat. You can have her back. So Arthur, very worried about his wife, obviously picks Lancelot, his best knight, to go and fight for his wife's life, not knowing that she's like banging him. But Sir Kay, his brother, complains. It's like, dude, I'll go save her. Why are you send Lancelot? Send me. I'm Sir Kay.
Yeah, bud, I got you.
Yeah, I'm your brother, man. Yeah, trust me, that's my sister-in-law. everybody goes, that's a terrible idea. Arthur, don't fucking send Sir Kay. He's a terrible knight. He's going to get his ass fucking whomped. Arthur, the guy that he is, nice guy, says, fucking fine. Go fight.
I'll kill somebody tonight. It's fine. I'll get my fit.
Yeah. Don't worry. There's people going to be sleeping later. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Kay heads out. Lancelot's sitting there like, I should have went. Fuck, my girlfriend or my, she's going to die. I'm going to go check. Kay's not good enough for this. I don't trust him. So he heads out, falls behind Kay. The next day, the next morning, he catches up to Sir Kay and his soldiers. They're all fucked up. Sir Kay's soldiers are all fucked up. Sir Kay's nowhere to be seen. The soldiers tell Lancelot that Kay was fought him in single combat, lost, and now Meliant took Kay with him to the castle as well. And they're both dead, basically. He wanted to fight single combat, whatever. So Lancelot's like, they're both going to die now. So he fucking starts riding towards Meliant's castle to save Guinevere. And I guess Sir Kay, he rides so long and fast that he kills the horse that he's riding. Doesn't stop before he just dies. So he has no horse. So he continues walking, sees another guy with his horse. He goes, I'm a knight of the round table. Give me your horse. I need to get to Gore. Gets that guy's horse, chugs it, kills that one too. That horse as well. Runs it too hard. Doesn't make it there in time. So Lancelot's panicking now. He doesn't know what to do. He's standing over a second dead horse. As he's sitting there staring off, what the fuck am I going to do here? A dwarf with a cart passes by Lancelot. And sees that Lancelot's in distress and stops and talks to him. Lancelot explains the situation and says he needs to get to Gore as soon as possible. The dwarf says, I'm going that way. Just jump in my cart. I'll get you there. As soon as he suggests getting in the cart, Lancelot kind of takes a few steps back and goes, in his brain's like, and then gets in, does for the ride. The reason he takes the few steps back, riding in the cart was like beneath a knight of the round table. That's for fucking prisoners. That's for like whores. That's for the lower rung of society. We don't ride in carts. We ride on horses. So he didn't want to demean himself by getting in the cart, but he did it anyway because he loves Guinevere. Needs to get out there. As he's driving along, people see him in the cart. He's embarrassed. He says, the dwarf's taking fucking so much delight and watching this knight squirm in the back of the cart. You fucking little knight, think you're so good. They get to Meliant's castle. Once they arrive, Lancelot challenges Meliant to single combat in exchange for the freedom of his friends. Meliant says no way to the deal. He already beat Sir Kay. Now all three of you are going to die. And they cross swords. And Lancelot beats this guy easily. And he does the knightly thing. He spares his life, doesn't kill him. But he says, in exchange for your life, now you will let Sir Kay, Guinevere, and myself get out of here unharmed. Meliant's father, King Badge Magus, and Lord of the Castle agrees to the terms. Meliant's pissed about it. He's like, I wanted to kill those fucking guys. Why are you saying yes to let them go? Honor. What do you think, as soon as Lancelot shows up to save Guinevere, what does she say? What do you think she does? Falls instantly in love with him, right? She gets, fuck, I love this guy. No.
No.
Typical woman. She complains. Instantaneously.
Where the hell were you?
See, I heard you hesitated getting into the cart. If you'd rather keep your pride than save my life. That's how they frame it. I just like, that's the reaction the chick would have. I don't think that's the reaction the chick would have. But no. Cool.
She'd be like, bro, thanks showing up. This fool just got us our ass kicked.
Yeah. And keep in mind, their affair is secret. Nobody knows except for them two. So they had to stay the night before they could leave the next day because Sir Kay's pretty fucked up. He's like passed out in the corner of their little room. So Lancelot in the middle of the night sneaks into Guinevere's room and they fuck it out for the evening. Problem is Lancelot's bleeding from the fight and he gets blood everywhere while fucking. So he leaves before any of the maids can show up. But as soon as the maids come in, they see there's blood all over Guinevere's bed and they go, you're fucking cheating on the king. You're fucking Sir Kay. Cause Sir Kay's in the same room sleeping the whole time. Doesn't see anything. He's passed, or I guess he's knocked out or something. He's bleeding all over the place too. So they go, Queen Guinevere is cheating on King Arthur with Sir Kay, his brother. Lancelot gets wind of this. He's like, Jesus Christ. No, I promise you, she is not committing adultery with Sir Kay, with me, not Sir Kay. Yeah, so Meliant stops them with the accusation. Lancelot says, fuck you, let's fight. And Lancelot fucks him up again. This time, I'm pretty sure just like to get rid of the guy who caught them fucking. You know, he kills Meliant this time. Fuck that guy. And they flee to get out before anybody knows anything about the affair. I think either Sir Kay's half like dumb, like, or he just didn't realize because he was passed out that they're banging, but he never brings it up ever. So they leave. Lancelot's the hero of the day. Sir Kay looks like an idiot. And yeah, they head back to Camelot. So that's a big Kay Lancelot quest. Lancelot, you have to bring up a lot with him because he's a big part, like I said. So another big quest with Lancelot was the quest for the Holy Grail. I'm not going to bring that one up, but that's a Lancelot one. Here's another good Igraine. So Igraine, Arthur's mother, had a child before Arthur. I was telling you guys before, with her husband Garlois, the duke that Arthur Pendragon fucking killed. Her name was Morgana, or sometimes her name is Morgan Le Fay. I think she's at least 10 years older than Arthur, because she's like, I don't know, she's about that much older than Arthur. Morgana's early life is not really talked about much. The earliest story I could find, I didn't look hard, there's a shit ton, but the earliest story I could find is when Arthur and Guinevere are first married. Morgan becomes Guinevere's lady-in-waiting, and Guinevere and Morgana were really good friends until one day Guinevere catches Morgan in bed with one of Guinevere's cousins. Guinevere didn't like that Morgana's beneath, like, it's not good enough for you. I'm a queen, you know? So Morgana said, you guys can't be together. And Morgana did not like this. I find that hilarious that the chick who's cheating on the king is like, wait, have some morals here. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the person you should be banging. That's not good enough for you.
Yeah, this doesn't even sound like King Arthur anymore. This is like an episode of Desperate Housewives at this point.
This is kind of what it's about. What period would that be? It'd be like the 1200s with the fucking romance period of all this shit. It turns into like very romantically dumb shit. People fighting for the heart of a lady all the time. And it's, anyways, cool. But I don't think that's how these fucking savages were acting back then. I think they were just going from town to town doing their thing. Killing and pillaging. We have to bring up Morgana though, because so when she gets ousted by Guinevere, she fucking leaves Camelot. Takes all her stuff with her. She goes out and lives with Merlin. And she learns magic from Merlin. Merlin loved Morgana, just so everybody knows. She didn't love him. She loved Lancelot. It's the whole thing. Not going to really talk about it. Morgana did have a son named Mordred, though. Stories vary that Mordred is either Arthur's nephew or his nephew's son. Yeah. She used Merlin's I'm someone different date rape trick to trick her half-brother into fathering a child with her. At some point, Morgan ends up stealing Arthur's sheath, the one that keeps him invincible, and throws it into a lake, never to be found again. So that's shitty of her. What else can I tell you about Morgan Le Fay? Yeah, Merlin's in love with her. She's in love with Lancelot. She couldn't care less. He couldn't care less because he loves Guinevere. Mordred also loves Guinevere, which is fucked up in its own way. Arthur trusted Mordred, though. Arthur, it was his nephew's son. He trusted him in matters of the kingdom. He was teaching him lots of things to take over if he ever needed to. Mordred and Morgana, though, both had dreams of sitting on the throne. They were plotting against him in a two away. Mordred sounds like another evil name. He is the bad guy in this too, but it sounds like Vortigern. It sounds like a bad guy's name, which I find fun. So one day, as King Arthur's sitting on his throne, a Roman guy comes, refused to help them 20 years ago, sends the tax collector. He shows up looking for tribute. You're part of Rome still. Where's our taxes? Arthur says, nah, fuck that. Decides he's going to go attack Rome to show them that the Britons are a new country now. So he takes that messenger, chops his head off, sends it back to the Roman emperor and says, this is the only thing you will get from us.
Classic.
Classic merciful Arthur.
Yeah. Showing mercy to all the messengers.
Rule number two.
Arthur gathers his army, collects Excalibur, and heads off to Rome to prove a point. So he starts to march into Europe. Much to the disbelief of Emperor Lucius of Rome, he takes the fight right across the English Channel. There's a war between Rome and Britain. The long war ends with Arthur cutting the head off King Lucius and sending that back to Rome saying, here, now you got everything. It's the only tribute you're going to get now. That's the end of that.
You want any more mercy, Romans?
Yeah. Some stories beyond that say that Sir Gawain cut his head off, but I like it better that Arthur did it. So that's what happens in this story. Arthur cut his head off. So there's much fanfare about that and... Yeah, in a few years, he's at war with the Romans. He's away from Camelot, though. And while he's away, Arthur puts Mordred in charge. Also, while Arthur is away, a lot of things happen. Mordred catches Lancelot and Guinevere having the old seggies. So Lancelot is, now they're charged with treason, because this shit's bad. And Lancelot leaves town, and Guinevere is charged with adultery. For her crimes, she's arrested and was going to be burned at the stake. That is the punishment for adultering women. Queens. Mordred starts rumors that Arthur's dead by the hand of his friend Lancelot after he found out that he was having sex with his wife. Mordred takes the throne. Now Lancelot's on the lam. The new King Mordred will avenge their King Arthur. So Lancelot hears that Guinevere is going to be burned at the stake, and he comes back to Camelot to rescue her. Lancelot is the best knight, so he easily frees Guinevere. Not to mention, Lancelot kills a lot of his buddies from the Round Table to do that, to save the queen. Like, he kills a bunch of the knights of the Round Table, which, fucking badass. Once he escapes the castle, Lancelot and Guinevere both live happily ever after and die in a land far, far away. No, they don't.
Nice. No, they don't.
No. Oh. They leave Camelot and they go like, man, we were dicks to Arthur. You know, we should just break up. Yeah, she gets dropped off at a nunnery, becomes a nun for the rest of her life. And Lancelot goes back to Gaul because he's a French dude. And he just goes and lives out the rest of his life back in Gaul. So they just break up after all of that. He kills a whole bunch of his buddies to save her, to break up. And she becomes a nun. He becomes a priest in Gaul. Good times.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Good times. This is all Arthur's gone, by the way. So Arthur didn't even see any of this shit happen. When he shows back up to Camelot, he sees that Mordred has usurped him. Arthur tries to retake his throne, but Mordred starts to gather his armies to face Arthur with a battle-hardened and injured army. So he's got a fresh army. Arthur's got an experienced but fucking injured army. And the two armies face off what is called the Battle of Camlann. This one comes down to a duel between Arthur and Mordred in the most dramatic way possible. So Arthur's wielding his war sword Excalibur and Mordred coming down with Arthur's stolen Sword of Peace, Clarent. Arthur actually gets the upper hand when he stabs Mordred with a spear, which was another weapon that Arthur loved, was a spear.
Yeah, that's odd that he actually got the upper hand by doing that.
What, with a spear?
It's just the phrasing. It just said he actually gets the upper hand by stabbing with it. That's an understatement, that's all.
I got you. Yeah. I word that stupidly. I understand that.
No,
I was like, spears were actually like more used than swords. Swords were like,
I'm sure you worded it fine. It's just like it's just the way that it said it. But you'd be surprised to find out that after being stabbed with a spear,
I'm just surprised by the fact that they were awake and fighting in the morning. I thought that fool would be dead the night before.
Yep. Well, I think what happened is Mordred was something of a sleepwalker, and that translated into being a sleep battler.
Hey, the battle started 6 hours early. Let's go.
Yeah, Arthur finally met his match.
This whole scene goes out. Arthur's getting with the sword or the spear, and he's kind of doing like the whole like good triumphs over evil, man. Like, you know, you're gonna die, and he's like, walks, kind of turns around to walk away from a stabbed Mordred with his spear. And just when you think Arthur's won, Mordred, with the last of his strength, impales himself more and gets Arthur in the head with Clarent. They both deal each other fatal blows. Mordred dies after he impales himself further, but Arthur survives with life-threatening head injuries. So much so that he tells Sir Bedivere, one of his other knights that I'm not going to talk about today, to return Excalibur to the Lady of the Lake. Sir Bedivere tries to keep the sword for himself for a bit, and Arthur's like, I'm serious, go bring it back to the lake, dude. Bedivere takes the sword to Avalon, delivers it back into the Lady of the Lake. And if you remember that movie Excalibur back in the day with Sir Patrick Stewart, it's a hilarious scene where he throws the sword back in and the hand just comes out of the lake and catches it mid-fucking-chuck. It's hilarious. They also bring Arthur's almost dead body to Avalon so that he can be healed by Avalon's special healing magic. Legend says that Arthur didn't die. He's just in Avalon waiting for a day that he is needed again. To this day in England, you can ask who Arthur is, and many of the old fellows will tell you that he is our once and future king, meaning he will return one day when he is needed the most. And that is the story of King Arthur and his life.
What are we qualifying as need? Like, what exactly? What are his special skills that...
There was, like, people thought during World War II he might come out because the Nazis were coming, but no, it wasn't big enough.
Global warming.
It's going to have to be global warming. It's going to have to be global warming.
And what would a guy from the 500s who knew only horses and sword fighting, how exactly would he be of help in the war against fascism?
Wake up at night, kill everybody, go to sleep back again in the morning.
Yeah, he could have went into Hitler's bunker, took him out at
night. The Nazis also managed that just fine. That's how they became the Nazis. They took a page out of Arthur's mercy tactics.
Hey, rule number 3, you know?
and cleaned house.
I find that story was entertaining enough, and like, there's a lot of crazy shit. I didn't know there's so much like rape babies and murder at sleep time. I didn't know that this story involved so much craziness. I thought it was just a cute little fucking King Arthur pulled his sword from the stone and years of peace happened. I thought that's really where it went. I wanted to kind of give you the whole story of, there's other things obviously, but like to answer your question for big, is this guy a real guy? That's what I want to ask, the answer the question for Sumit, because I know that's what he wants us to figure out for him.
Yeah, because,
but that's gonna, without knowing the whole Arthur story, none of the fucking explanation of how it got to what it is today makes any sense. So I kind of want to give you the full story, and then we'll go through, like, it'll be a shorter episode next episode, but it'll also go through like kind of the history of how King Arthur came to what it is today and how it started actually through history and how it just evolved into the craziness of like giants and dragons and blah blah blah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Can you come back in a couple weeks there, Sumit, just to do the second episode?
Oh yeah. I want to have a space in that table. You know, we should make our own table with 125 or 140 people.
Dick shaped table.
Yeah.
Oh dude. Yes. Knights of the hard table.
It's gotta be a hardwood. It's gotta be like oak.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's so good.
I want a chair by the ball bag side, you know, towards the end.
Because, that's right. And the round table doesn't have a head of the table, but the fucking Knights of the Hard Table, there's a head of that table.
Oh, yeah.
There is a head of that table for sure. Yep. I don't know who sits at the head of the table on that one.
Not me.
Yeah, it's you fuck, you wreck. You get to sit the cum side of the table.
That's all you, dude.
You weren't paying attention, so you lost. That's where the action happens. I don't need to touch my nose. I want to be there.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, I want to be there. Cool.
That's my thing.
Everyone's like, all right, take your seats, and Rick's like,
Okay, so we've established there's Knights of the Hard Table, big dick shaped table. I like that. Can I give you guys a little assignment for 2 weeks from now?
Yeah,
just come here with one rule that we all have to have abide by for the episode. That's not like,
I already
want to
a
be
rule.
A Knight of the Hard Table. Don't say what it is now when we come back. Okay. But if you're a part of the Knight of the Hard Table, this is the values that we, and then we're gonna
like our tenets.
Yeah, cool. Like they had 7 rules. We can have 4.
Yeah,
and we all pick one. And we'll see what we come up with. I think that'll be fun.
Club rules. Love it.
I just watched Private Dicks, and I think RJ's the funniest.
What? Come on!